Yeah. Okay, no problem. But I think.
Before you start, because I have to tell you that this is recorded and even webcast.
Ah, no problem.
Are there any objections?
Yeah. No problem. Really, no problem. So we met your foreign affairs ministers tomorrow. We will meet also your minister for home affairs and defense. I think it's combined here in
it's
the
defense, it's
security. It's better. Security. And I think at the program it's written like this with defense. Yeah. Oh, but anyway. No, but we saw also the interior of your city, and we visited Lufthansa.
Because
we are also impressed how it is possible for Malta to attract foreign investors, because not thinking only on the bigger companies, but also on these companies which are more the SMEs, more the small and medium-sized ones, because also in Germany they are backing our economy and they are backing our economic development because that guarantees stability. So we got very good impressions and thank you very much now for your time. I would like to propose to keep it informal.
So you don't want it to be recorded?
Oh, no. It can be recorded without
right.
any, but not too official.
No,
not so not, right. not too official because we are colleagues and we are... Well, under us, but also, and even if it is recorded, no problem. I think, well, first we are interested how you see the development of your own presidency. Also, perhaps you have an opinion about the results of the summit of the Valletta summit.
I was going to ask for your opinion first.
Started with this, but also we how you are working your committee. This is also interesting to hear for us. And also perhaps the more the home affairs politics, because that's also interesting to hear more about and to know more about Malta. So thank you very much once again, and I don't know if you want to take the floor.
Well, regarding the presidency, just like a month and 2 weeks went over. We had our first meeting, the chairperson's COSAC meeting, as a parliamentary dimension. All the ministers, cabinet members are very busy with their commitments, and especially they had to present the program, the priorities, and Brussels as well. I think that the summit was a very positive summit, in my humble opinion. Okay, and we didn't solve the migration problem, but at least we managed to get every state, and I mean it every state, because sometimes, I mean, you have an experience when we discuss migration, even at COSAC level, the level of opposition that sometimes there is on certain migration policies and migration ideas, brought forward from Mediterranean countries, from Eastern European countries. But at least we managed to get the 28 countries agreeing on a declaration that we need to do something and we need to do something at source. Okay, the modus operandi still has to be planned and we have to decide on many things before that. But at least it's a good start. So I think, yes, I see that positive thing coming out of this summit, that at least we are already have a starting point. We know where to go. Obviously, throwing money at a problem doesn't solve the problem. So I believe, in my opinion, that we have to even be present, even in Libya, to see that what we actually want is actually happening. And not just give the money and we don't know what's going on. Because one of the main reasons to do this, what was proposed and agreed in the summit and the declaration, is to curb the criminal organizations that obviously are using the migrants at their own benefit.
Sure.
And that is something that maybe it's even bigger than we can even know or imagine. And we have to also make sure that no further tragedies occur in the Mediterranean Sea. That's our first priority, to save lives and to avoid tragedies. And I think that the idea to place an agency, an authority or a representation from the European Union, European Commission, whatever, in Libya to check the status of every refugee, every migrant, according to international laws and in accordance with the fundamental human rights of the individual, I think it's a good start. We shouldn't just say what it's impossible to, but no, it's a good start. We should see that little step that we have in front of us, and there are 100 and a million steps to take, but at least we started from the very first step at the bottom of the staircase. And I think that's the main focal point of the summit. So, till now, that's what we have achieved. Obviously, now we're looking forward, even at the parliamentary dimension, there are other committees that have their own international meetings, EU meetings. Our next one is in April regarding the CFS-PCSDP, because this committee takes even part in discussions regarding the security and defense policies, because we don't have a defense committee in this parliament. And we're going to have it in April. Federica Mogherini has already pledged her presence. Mm-hmm. And we're going to even to have a session, a whole one-hour session, if not more, on migration, obviously, because we believe that it's an important issue to tackle it from a security point of view. Then in May we'll have the plenary COSAC sessions with migration as well, Brexit, and a lot of other topics. Obviously, you will also receive, I don't know if it has been sent already, the questionnaire. We were working on the questionnaire to be sent regarding the but it should be sent. No, I think it's going to be sent in March. It's going to be sent in March, so that we'll have the replies, and then we'll try to figure some conclusions that are brief, to the point, and that can possibly cause the least possible disagreement among member states to avoid any possible conflicts at the end, because we don't want the situation to repeat itself, like I don't know if you were in Bratislava for the plenary. Yes, definitely. Good. That's regarding the committee. When the committee, there is the plenary committee. But then it's divided into working groups as well. There is a working group that, which makes, I think, that takes the bulk of the workload, scrutinizing every document that comes from the European Union, and that we meet very frequently to meet the deadlines, especially the 8-week deadline. We have issued last year in December two reasoned opinions, and regarding the common tax, the triple C, consolidated common, I can't remember corporate consolidated whatever tax, and we should have two recent opinions because we believe that they breach the subsidiarity and proportionality. That's basically what we do, and we meet with delegations. We have been very busy meeting with delegations, not just from Europe. Everybody wants to know about the presidency. Even I had one-to-one meetings with a lot of ambassadors who wanted to know about the presidency. And I think it's a going-on process, and I think we have even a full schedule even in the coming weeks as well with meetings with other delegations. Yes. So, and we are part timers, by the way. Yeah.
So that it can be also recorded, I have to press the button, because the summit had a very positive echo in Germany in the newspapers, and this can also be recorded, what I tell you now. I think it was good organized. What I heard, it was very good organized, and I think also the result can be shown, and that's very, very important, because you know that especially in these days, Europe is not in a very good shape. We are divided in a lot of different political issues, but anyway, this was also important to send a positive signal and also a common agenda for all the member states. And I mentioned it to you this afternoon to your foreign affairs minister. Here, Malta has a special expertise that's needed, because nothing against our friends in Estonia, please believe me, but Estonia to Libya, well, there are a few hundred kilometers between. And this is an enormous chance, because you are not only now in the presidency, but also afterwards in the Troika.
Yes.
And we have to keep this issue on the political agenda. This is very important. We were impressed when we heard it this afternoon, how your foreign affairs minister, painted, if you want, a picture. He set the coordinates, and so with a very clear perspective, which where Europe has to be engaged and in which sense Europe has to be engaged. And as I told you at the very beginning, you could join afterwards, but I think it will be the main challenge of the 21st century. This we have to be aware, and it cannot be solved by a few countries. And I mentioned it also this afternoon. There, I think, in the past, also Germany did remarkable mistakes because, we saw the refugee crisis, which is years ago, and happened years ago, but it was the problem of the others and not a problem seen as a European problem, even not as a German problem. And sure that it was a difficulty also for Germany that when the refugees came to Germany to say now it's a European problem. Because we saw the pictures, but we were in a very comfortable position, because surrounded by friends, surrounded by other countries, which are, and with a Dublin system, people seeking for asylum couldn't reach Germany. They had to fall from the sky. Mm-hmm. yes, and then shouting, well, I need asylum. That was the reality. And people also in Germany, also those who were in the responsibility as politicians, they looked the news, and after the weather forecast at 9:15, or quarter past eight, then we looked at the so-called Tatort or other or other things in the TV, then it was not seen as a problem for Europe,
exactly.
And not seen as a problem for Germany. But tempi passati, I think it is this challenge of the 21st century, because we have not only to fight against the symptoms, we have to fight against the reasons why people are coming to Europe. So a lot of tasks are waiting for us. But I see that also Norbert Spinrad wants to take the floor, and I'm very grateful.
Microphone and press.
When also
speak.
The colleagues want to take the floor, perhaps also Achim Bachmann, feel free.
Yeah, dear colleagues, congratulations for this first Valletta summit in January, in the beginning of February. It was a very good event. It was a very good conference to discuss the necessities, necessities for this very struggled times for Europe now. There is a first delivering with this idea for make the passage for the people better and secure through the Mediterranean Sea, and as you said, totally right, it must be the first priority to make the people stay alive when they try to reach Europe, and therefore it might be an idea to build any asylum compacts or refugees compacts in northern Africa. But I think we have to look very clear to it and have to make sure that it will help the people and not to bring the people in the final end that they do not want, and that is not in our intention that we have to give shelter to all those people. They need those shelter, and therefore we have to discuss a lot of things in this relation to construct this. There is the people in those camps has to be provided with all those what they need when they arrive for their daily life. They have to be provided with medicine aid, but also I think they must have the right to ask for asylum in this camp. But I know that is very difficult to construct this. If we talk about a compact in Libya or wherever in northern Africa, that is outside of the territory of EU. And so we have asylum right in Europe, in the member states of the European Union, that people only can claim for asylum when they reach our territory, in Germany too. I think if we want to have North African solutions, we have to build European, EU asylum right, and the responsibility of the EU to take those asked for asylum in northern Africa and to decide it there. Because if we only hinder the people to go on a boat on the sea, bring them back, then I think we finish the fortress of Europe. And that's not on my mind, that's not on the mind of my party in Germany, but not on the Social Democrats in Europe in totally. And it is not the intention of the European treaties, of the national constitutions, and of the Refugees Convention of Geneva. So, might be a solution, but then we have to do it in a common European sense. And I'm not so sure when I look at the last 1.5 year and to the common European sense that it is easy to build this system. I would be lucky if it would run, a positive run, but therefore we have to do a hard and a lot of work.
Thank you. I invite if there are any other members of the German delegation who would like.
No?
So I open the floor to my colleagues. I have not introduced them because obviously we started talking and his Honorable Francis Zambit Demek, who was a former foreign affairs minister as well in the legislature, and his Frederick Atsopardi from Gozo, one of the representatives we have from Gozo, and my colleague Dr. Deo De Battista, who is also a member of the government. Please.
Well, I'll share some thoughts with you. Of course, it's I appreciate that you are understanding, of course, a bit of difficulty we had in, I think, commencing the meeting earlier. But you must have noticed, of course, that this evening, in the plenary session of Parliament, the Prime Minister was, in fact, giving a statement about the European Union summit.
I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it, but we felt the sense of it. Yes.
Well, it was in fact a statement about that, and a number of us who obviously follow this issue, I mean, myself included, were asking some questions about the summit. To summarize what was said even tonight in Parliament, even from that statement, the emphasis of the summit, from our perspective, was certainly one with regard to the migration issue. And Malta is pleased to see that this is now higher on the European agenda. Reference was made in that statement to the agreement that was reached the day before the summit between Italy and Libya, which is an agreement that seeks to strengthen measures through which Libya can itself use its coastal guard to stem the flow of migration from that country. Now, that was the statement. There were, of course, questions raised by different members of Parliament who spoke up, and I'll refer to some of the questions which I raised myself and which the leader of the opposition raised. The questions would, of course, include whether this will lead to enough concrete action. Why do we ask that? Because at the end of the day, the agreement is one that has been reached by Italy with the European, with Libya. When the expectation right up till the eve of the summit, even if one follows a number of people who follow European Union and even all that was said, even locally, was that there was the possibility of an agreement, European Union-Libya, similar to European Union-Turkey. Now, why that was not reached, I could obviously make my own speculations in that regard. I know that there are elements that would be critical even of an agreement of that nature, because would it be an agreement which to some extent implies that people who are seeking humanitarian status and protection are being held within the country, which at least in part is causing them repression, possible torture, possible ill-treatment. Now, part of the legal reply given by the Prime Minister is that people that are withheld from leaving their country, one cannot apply the rules of return of the same people. I would assume he was referring to the refoulement rules, because these people have not left in the first place. That is fine from a legal point of view, but I think the humanitarian issue is still relevant for us as parliamentarians to follow. In any case, we're also asking about whether, irrespective now of whether that kind of agreement should have been entered into with Italy or eventually with the European Union, and I think all of us in Europe would like to see some measures to curb such migration flows. But irrespective of that, so let us assume that the agreement in its own right is a positive step, but whether Libya can actually implement that agreement for the simple reason that you are talking of a very weak structure. The government, the recognized government of Libya, does not have control over all of Libya. They don't control all the territory. They don't control even parts of the territory from which there are migration flows. They do not control the area where you have production of oil. They do not control, of course, the Tobruk area, right? And, of course, we know that apart from the fact that you have at least two governments vying for attention, one recognized, one not recognized, you also have the likes of General Haftar, which is certainly adding to the mixture. Now, again, the reply here, I'm trying to be as correct as possible, even to what was stated in Parliament earlier today, is in any case one needs to try, in any case one needs to some extent even give a signal to that recognized government of Libya that the European Union is willing to work alongside it to help it curb this problem. But it is an issue which we certainly will need to be following. So when you ask about issues of, I would call, priority within the presidency of Malta, I think we all agree that certainly migration is one of them. The statement tonight also referred to the transatlantic issues. And, of course, the fact, unfortunate fact, I think I can be frank enough to add, now no longer wearing the hat of a foreign minister, so my use of so my use of diplomatic language can now be a bit more curbed and limited. Exactly, exactly. Of having the likes of Mr. Trump heading the United States of America can have its consequences. One particular consequence which I asked about, unfortunately there was no reply to this question, is he has already reneged on the commitment that there were about 60,000 migrants who had already been vetted, who had already been screened, who had already been cleared, and that they were going to participate in the resettlement program, which includes the United States of America. And now these people simply cannot go there. Will these be added on to the number of people that need to be resettled in Europe? That's one immediate impact. What about, of course, the measures taken with regard to a number of countries? Fine. The United States of America remains of utmost importance. We need to still engage with the United States of America. I do not think anybody is stating anything different from that. Having said that, I think this could, now I'm really going to be optimistic in this field, I think this could be an opportunity for the European Union to assert itself more and assert its importance more. But these are not exactly the most easy of times. So I think your committee, our committee, and governments in general will need to be addressing these issues. And there is a lot of follow-up that will need to take place following the EU informal summit in Malta, which certainly went very well. But then the long-term impact of that summit, or of any other summit, it does not have to be the Malta summit, any other summit following that or preceding that, will obviously need to be measured by the concrete action taken and not only by the brilliantly written declarations that emanate from those summits. And to add a further note to that argument, and again it's a part of the questions that I was raising, relocation. I mean, the European Union is technically committed to relocation of 160,000 migrants from Italy and from Greece. To date, as we speak, relocation, including the Malta quota, which has been honored in full, stands at 11,000. So, I mean, we are 149,000 short. What's going to happen? Fine. We were told, partly in reply to that question, that former Eastern Bloc countries are now looking more positively at the possibility of cooperating because they see that there are stronger measures being taken to stem the flow of new migrants. I hope that is not wishful thinking to see even that translated into concrete action. So that's those are the feelings from my end. Anyway,
Thank you. So, the floor is yours to conclude. Unless there is someone who wants to intervene.
Well, first point concerning the relocation mechanism. You know that also Germany fulfilled now the agreements, even that we had also in the past a lot of refugees coming from Syria. And that's where I want to make also a personal remark from my side. I think we have to make more and more a difference. People who came from Syria, they looked for security. They looked for peace, sure, but also for security. People coming from Africa, they are looking for prosperity. So the question will be what Europe
or
can...
Or to stay alive.
The question will be, sure, but the question will be what Europe can do. And how we should react, because I think it's the right decision to look that these people can stay in the North African states and that they can find perspectives to stay. And in this point, we as Europeans are asked. We are asked. What I mean is... look only on the companies, European companies. How many companies are really invested in Africa? Concerning Germany, there are a few. There are a few companies, if I'm right informed, for the whole continent, there are only 1,000 companies for the whole African continent who have... Umsatz, helfen Sie mal her. Umsatz. Of more than 3 million euro sales per year. only 1,000 companies. That's nothing. That's really nothing. So we have to encourage these European companies to engage more, to invest more on the African companies continent, because then we will create jobs. When people find labor, then they can also feed their families. That's the point. And then they have a perspective to stay. Otherwise, they will leave their countries. They will leave also their regions, and because sometimes they have no choice. When the country becomes, when the land becomes a desert, what shall they do? If the country is not feeding any longer the families, what shall they do? They have to leave it. And so there, for the reasons of climate change, for example, what I mean. And there, I think we can do more, and we are doing it in our own interest. We are doing it in our own trade interest. Also, another remark concerning now the refugees coming from Syria. Sure that Germany did a lot till today. Not necessary to mention it. But they are coming on the ticket of Geneva. What I mean is they are coming on the ticket of the Geneva Declaration. So that means they can stay so long as they are threatened by the life and the health and so on. So long they can stay. But one point has to be very clear in my opinion. If there's one day, hopefully, more or less peaceful atmosphere and peaceful situation in Syria, they have to go back, because that are the citizens of Syria who shall rebuild the country one day, when their own citizens, sure, with our support, with the German support, with the European support, with your support, sure. But there we have also a responsibility. What I mean, we have to be very careful, especially also in Germany, that we are not making a sin. That we are not making a sin in this sense, that we take the best qualified people, and then the others who remained in the country, and we take not care. Then we will risk to create another failing state in addition to Syria, Libya. It was a long day today. Well, to Libya.
I believe there even, even tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. No, there we have to be very, very careful. So I think it is also necessary to write, to send the right messages. And there we have also a responsibility. We have a responsibility for the region. We have a responsibility for the continent. And so I hope that Europe will take the right decisions. But in Germany, you will see that the whole discussion is a very mixed one. So we are talking about integration of the people coming from Syria. We are talking in the same sense, in the same moment, then we speak about migration of labor. But we have free movement of labor as one of the four fundamental principles of the European Union, but only for the citizens of the European Union. That makes a difference. You will not find any sentence of free movement of workers, free movement of labor for the whole and for the rest of the world, because this will not be also bearable, if you want, for Germany, even not for for Europe. So there we have to make a difference, and I think this is very, very important. But one point is also very sure, and I think there I can speak for our committee. We have to take more care on the African continent. We have to take more responsibility on the African continent. And so I think there we have a common intention, and it will stay on the European agenda for the next decades, not only for years.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you here. I look forward.
Thank you very much, and once again, good luck for your presidency.
Thank you.
You are cordially invited to come to Berlin very soon, whenever you can realize
it. Yeah, pleasure. Berlin is one of the most beautiful European cities I've been to.
Oh, we let our heart here in Malta now.
Don't forget to try out the theater of Angela Merkel.
I can show you the place where she's shooting. Thank you. Abbiamo ancora un minuto, una prova minuti. Thank you. John. Approvavo il minuto.